If our first reading this morning sounds familiar, it should. We read it just a month ago on Christmas Eve. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Or, as it's quoted by the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. In other words, to everyone who is hurting, to everyone who is oppressed, to everyone who's bowed low by what life has thrown at you, your King has come to take it on himself and carry you. Oppression is thrown off and liberation is come. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew continually quotes passages like this from Isaiah and from the prophets to remind his readers that Jesus is the one who has come, that life and liberation come from him, as it was foretold by the law and the prophets. And today, we're reminded once again of that Christmas promise, of that promise of the incarnation. Today, on the third Sunday after Epiphany, in the season where we continue to unpack layer after layer, more and more about who Jesus is and what his ministry means to us and to our lives here today. For Simon and Andrew, James and John, what is this liberation that has come? Some of it probably has to do with their occupation as fishermen. We think of fishing as a great hobby that we maybe do on the weekends or after work during the week. But for them, it was a job that was the lowest of the low, a struggle to even make ends meet. These folks were hardly even cracking into the lowest class. They likely would have struggled day after day to feed a brutal Roman Empire, retaining little to no of the food that they caught for themselves and even less money. They were caught in this cycle of poverty with no way out and nowhere to go. And then Jesus comes walking by. Come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets, they left the boat and their father, and followed him. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor calls this story the miracle on the beach, that these four men unquestioningly left everything to follow Jesus, left their nets, left their boats, left their family, left their livelihood and probably their family's livelihood, meager as it was. And unquestionably, that is a miracle. How many of us would and could jump up and just do that? Leave everything we know, everyone we care about, everything we've ever done, and follow this guy named Jesus just because he asks. It's a bit of a scary thought. But what if it wasn't everything? Jesus is, after all, asking them to step outside of this life of oppression. Leave a life where they work all day for ridiculous hours just to feed a foreign government and get little to nothing in return. Leave a life that's kept them in a small box of class structure and expectations and the poverty that comes with it, without giving them any opportunity to change their lot in lives. Maybe that's something worth leaving behind. And so Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. They're fishermen. Jesus is asking them to come and continue to be fishermen, but in a new way. In other words, maybe Jesus isn't asking them to leave everything behind. He's asking them to bring themselves the skills and the knowledge that they've accumulated over decades of this backbreaking work. All the patience, the resilience, the intuition required to be professional fishermen. All the knowledge they've gotten of the limits of their bodies, the importance of timing, the humility that they've honed over decades of work. Jesus is asking them to bring all of this accumulated experience and intelligence with them when they come, to bring themselves forward and to be liberated into being even more fully and freely themselves. This isn't a call to abandon everything, but to come with our intellect, with our memories, with our backgrounds, our education, our skills, and to be molded and shaped into the fullness of the person that God has created us to be. That doesn't mean that discipleship, that following Jesus, doesn't require sacrifice, change, risk. It most certainly does. And we see that echoed and lived out over and over again in the gospel stories about Jesus, about his disciples, and then in the disciples' lives and their writings that follow. But it is a reminder that following Jesus is more about resurrection than it is about death. Dying to ourselves, yes, but then rising to new life in Jesus so that we and all of those around us can experience the fullness of life that God came to bring. And then to share that life with others. Not a coercive fishhook sort of way. We aren't called to catch or trap people for Jesus. But we are called to share that life with others by embodying the vision of living into the fullness of what God has called each of us into. Reflecting the life and the love of Christ on all around us. And the rest is up to God. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people, said Jesus. I will make you. God is the one who calls us. God is the one who equips us and makes us new. God is the one who is good news for all. God only asks that we follow and open ourselves into being made new, that we might reflect that light and that life to those around us, that the world would know the life-giving, liberating love of Jesus come into the world for you and for everyone. Amen.